You know, from time to time, since Christ started his church on Pentecost back in 31 AD, there have been some that have come and followed, and then they drop off and drift away. Some come back, some don't. This has been a battle. This has been something that has been going on ever since, you know, the church started. And I guess we can call them old lost sheep. I know I heard that Mike talked about sheep last week. I didn't get to hear it, but I hear it was really a great sermon. And but yes, some leave, some come back, and there has been many battles going on in the hearts of Christians from the beginning. And you know, of course, we have number one, we have the Satan factor. The Satan factor, as we know, you know, he was once a loyal and trusted servant of God. And then in his mind, he decided, well, you know, I think I'm the great one. I have power, and I can do this, and I can do that. And yes, he did. He had lots of power and could do all kinds of wonderful things. But he kind of got caught up with himself when he started thinking, well, you know, maybe I should be sitting on the throne. Maybe I should be taking the place of God the Father who created him. And he thought pretty good about himself. And we know what happened to him. Like a lightning bolt, he was sent down to earth to dwell down here. And along with a third of the angels that sided in with him. He must have been a pretty good salesman, because he got a third of the angels to side in with him and to go along with him. So we have the Satan factor, and he is still very perturbed that there are these human beings that can be in the God family, and he can't. He's already been judged. We are being judged right now. But he has already been judged, and he knows what his outcome is. And, you know, as we get closer and closer to the end, he is going wild. He is going berserk, and he is looking for any little crack or anything in our spiritual armor to take us out. And on any little trivial thing, he is trying to get us out of God's church, trying to do his work, and he's laughing all the way about it. And then we have the battle with false teachers. And false teachers kind of have the same problem as Satan. They want to do things their way. And they have a position of power. But, you know, when they start thinking that way about power, they lose their humility. And they begin thinking more of themselves than what they should. And they start thinking, well, you know, everything that's being done is because of me. Really a wrong attitude. And, you know, we know what Jesus said. Jesus said that none of us can do nothing on our own. Not one thing. We have to give all the glory to God the Father who created each and every one of us. And then another battlefront that we have to face is the battle with our own human nature and what bad habits and thoughts that are lodged in our hearts and our minds. We have our own human nature to battle. And on top of it, along with that kind of fits right in with it as well too, is the changing culture of this world. You know, we can think back, some of us, you know, we grew up in a more, what I thought was a more innocent age. It probably wasn't more innocent, but on the surface, we kind of thought that as we grew up. But, you know, there has been gigantic changes in culture, the way that people live and the way that people act, you know, just in the days that we have lived and have grown up. And, you know, it seems like there's nothing that can shock us. We see things on the news or on TV where they talk about whatever, but nothing can really shock us hardly anymore. You know, so we have that culture problem, and then we have our own human nature. And we have all these bad habits and bad thoughts that are lodged in our brains that we need to cleanse out of our head. And so we have some battlefronts all over the place. We have the Satan factor, false teachers that are teaching untruths, and we have ourselves and our human nature and the culture of this world. In a nutshell, I guess, you know, we need to come to the conclusion and the realization that, you know, we are not so perfect ourselves. We cannot think too high of ourselves. We don't want to fall into the same trap of Satan, false teachers, or even the culture of this world, or anything like that at all. We need to become extremely more humble all the time, in knowing that we can do nothing on our own, not even take the next breath, unless God allows it. We need to be depending on God. And that's really, I guess, getting it down, kind of narrow there. But, you know, do we really know that? Has it really sunk into our heads that we can do nothing on our own? That we are not so great? We are not so smart? We don't know everything that's going on? We need to really take a look at our thoughts, you know, and understand that, you know, we really aren't too much. And I love that song that was just played. And I walked in the back there and saw Mr. Bill Gregory back there. And not many wise men now are called. And I says, isn't that the truth? Each and every one of us, we have a lot to learn, a lot to overcome, a lot that we need to call on God the Father to defend us, to build that hedge around us. And we can only do that if we are obedient to God. The only thing that can separate us, of course, from God is our sins. So we need to be doing our part so that we can call on God to defend us from all these pressures and things that are coming on us. So much stimuli is hitting each and every one of us in this world. And we need to overcome daily our sins. We can't wait until the evening to pray. We need to pray constantly. Be in prayer with God constantly, all of your waking hours. Like we're holding on to our Father's hand, lead me, take me through this day, through this life. Guide and direct me. And please don't let me get into your way, God. We need to change our attitudes, is what it really is, and which is also the title of this sermon, is a change of heart. Each of us truly has to have a change of heart. And the change of heart that we are going through is in stages. Our heart is not completely changed all at once. We need to work on all the different things that are coming into us and the things that are wrong with us, all these different bad habits I'm talking about. We need to work on all these things. God wants us to overcome our human nature in the poles of this world. He wants us to change our motivation. He wants us to change our motivation of thinking. Let's turn to Romans 12:2. Romans 12:2, if you will. Romans 12 and verse 2. Let me get into 12 here. I was in the wrong. I thought it looked kind of strange. 12:2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The renewing we have to do constantly. Renew your mind constantly. Feed your mind with God's truth, with God's word. Listen to the many sermons that you can get off of the internet. Listen to those. Read the Bible. Read the booklets. Read the information that God has provided for each and every one of us. Renew our minds is what we need to do, so that we may prove. You know, we have to prove all things to ourselves. We have to convince ourselves, yes, that is what I need to be doing. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We have to understand what God's will is. We have to think about that. We can't guess at it. We can't add things to it. We can't take things away from it. We must be thinking about what is the will of God. You know, the word conform, you know, it means to form or to mold. And we know that the word world, you know, that's the common or the normal word for this age or this era, this time that we're living in, this culture that we are living in. We are not to conform to it. Instead of being molded, you know, by the values of this world, we should be transformed. That is, changed by the renewing of our mind. As I just said, we have many things, many bad habits that are in our hearts and our minds. We have to have a change of heart, a totally different motivation that we think with, a totally different way. And spiritual transformation starts in our minds and our hearts. That's where it is at. A mind that is dedicated to the world and its concerns will produce a life that's tossed back and forth by the changes of the culture. You know, you will never know what's right or what's wrong. You'll end up doing what's wrong because that's the way the world thinks. The world does not obey God. But a mind that is dedicated to God's truth will produce a life that can stand the test of time. We have to have our minds dedicated to God's truth. We have to put the blinders on. Put the blinders on to this world. Put the blinders on to what other people are saying. Prove all things yourself. Open up God's word and prove everything yourself. It will stand the test of time. You don't have to worry about the changes of the culture. God's truth does not change. It is the same, now and forever. You know, and we can resist the temptations of the culture of this world and the environment that we live in by thinking about and meditating on God's truth and letting God's Holy Spirit guide and shape our thoughts and our behaviors. Those old habits that are stuck in our mind, our behaviors, which our behaviors are guided with, our thoughts can be changed to be thinking the way that God wants us to think if we are dedicating our minds and to God's truth. And just one scripture down in Romans 12 there, let's read 12:3. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of truth. Again, we can't think too highly of ourselves. We make very, very poor decisions on our own. Very, very poor. And if we have our mind dedicated on God's truth and God is changing our thoughts and our habits and our motivation of the way we think, then we will be thinking more humbly, more soberly, because we can think of the power and the awesomeness of our Father, our God in heaven. And we can really realize when Jesus said that we can do nothing on our own. And we can't. We can't at all. We have to be sober and think about that. Totally serious about what God is and what He is doing for each and every one of us. A renewing of the mind, like I said, you know, begins thinking soberly about oneself. And that is the first step of changing our behavior. You know, and we can take another look at ourselves in the mirror and we can say, you know, what kind of example do others see in me? You know, and don't fool yourself. Stand in front of that mirror and really, really take a good look at yourself and say, you know, do people think I'm fooling them, or am I showing that I'm truthful to them? What kind of an example am I setting? You know, we do have to take an examination of ourselves. And it's not just at the Passover or before the Passover. We need to be doing this all year round because we need to be changing all year round. We need to be thinking about how we need to grow in God's Holy Spirit and using God's Holy Spirit to grow with. We have that complete need for spiritual understanding. We need spiritual discernment. That can only come from God's Holy Spirit. You know, we can understand things to a certain level, but to have discernment about something, it goes deeper than just understanding. And that's what we get when we have God's Holy Spirit. We can understand, we can discern what God's will is in a totally different form. We just don't gloss over it and say, yeah, we understand that. To have discernment that can only come from God's Holy Spirit will give us that ability to know what God really, really thinks about something. In Philippians 2:5, you don't have to turn there, but Paul said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." God wants all of his people to think like he and Jesus Christ think, and that is with love. Only if we think like Christ will we ever learn to behave like he behaves. To even begin to understand how Christ and the Father think requires, again, a change of heart, a transformation of our minds. Learning how to love others better than ourselves. Now, this takes much spiritual discernment and understanding. Very much to be able to love others better than ourselves. That thinking of number one is built into our human nature. What's in it for me? What am I going to get out of this? What effort am I exposing myself to? It's all thinking about self. God the Father and Jesus Christ think with love. They think better of others, the way that we should be thinking of our brothers and sisters in Christ especially, and the neighbors that we live with. And we know that, you know, from the basics. You know, we are to love God the Father first with all of our hearts and with all of our souls. And second, love our neighbors as ourselves. That means everybody else. And he says all the law hangs on those two. And it's really hard for humans to really transform into that kind of love. You know, if you really want something, like at the dinner table or whatever, you know, and you see that somebody else wants it, give it to them. I mean, something as simple as that. Think of others better than yourself is what we need to be thinking. You know, most people, I guess, that go to the secular churches and you know, that are in the world and all over, you know, they assume that, you know, most of them, you know, can read the Bible and it's easy to understand most of the parts of it. And they will take words out of context and they will read those words and they only see what they want to see. Or they may even fill words in that they don't even see and add it right into the Bible. So there's a lot of confusion that goes on in the world. And if we're not careful, if you listen to these people, you will pick up on those kind of things and you'll stick them into your memory bank as well, too. Got to be careful who you're talking with when the subject of religion comes up or about God and his truth. We are to be ready with an answer ourselves. We don't have to be listening to others. We need to take that initiative to make sure that we know that we know that we know God's truth. Because they will add words in like, when you die, you're going to go right to heaven and be with all your friends and relaxing in heaven, you know, the second you die. It isn't in the Bible. It's not true. Not going to happen. And we hear people say, well, you know, old so-and-so died and he's in a much better place than we are. No, he's not. He's in the ground. He's going back to dust. It's better to be alive. We will all die. Yes, we will. God has a plan for us, but we know that we're going to be resurrected. Most of the people of the world don't understand that or know that. But they do want to believe something like that. So they say, well, you know, old Joe over here, you know, he died, and I know he's in a better place than I am, up there rolling around heaven all day and doing all these good things. No, that's not true at all. They don't understand what's in the Bible. Be careful who you talk to about the Bible. Be in charge. be in charge. You don't have to blurt things out or anything. Wait for people to ask you questions. They ask you a question, be ready with the correct answer. And if you don't know, say, well, I'll have to go look that one up. Stay humble in every situation. It's easy. Satan would like to get each of us into a bind like that, to make us kind of look bad, you know, to make us look foolish in front of other people. So please do your Bible study constantly every day. You will grow in faith and knowledge, and you will have that change of heart that I'm talking about as well, too, that transformation of our mind. God is only calling and opening the minds of those that he wants to from each era of time. You know, in there really isn't all that many down through each era that are called. I don't believe. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians 2. Let's read verse 14. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Again, talking about we must have God's Holy Spirit to do more than understand. There is discernment. It is a deeper knowing. A deeper knowing of God's truth and his word. And to the natural man who is not called, it's all foolishness to him. He does not understand a thing about it. So it takes God's Holy Spirit for us to even understand the will of God and what he wants for us. And we know there is also spiritual blindness. There is spiritual blindness. Let's turn to a well-known scripture, Isaiah 55. Let's turn back there. Isaiah 55, and let's read verses 8 and 9. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You know, we really can't know all that God has planned for us. You know, you can just take a look at the sky at night when it's not cloudy and take a look at all the stars that are out there. He has them all set in the right places so they don't crash together. He has everything in order. He has placed the earth a certain distance from the sun to where it's not too hot or too cold, has it to turn so we have seasons. He has done all these wonderful, wonderful miracles. You know, and our brains cannot wrap around how he did this or how he does this, but he does. Our thoughts are not his thoughts. We can't think too highly of our own thoughts. We need to be thinking more humbly. And this can put us into a better state of mind to be in obedience to God, is to be humble. Our Father, our God, our Creator is so wonderful, and he has created everything that is and everything that there was. And we need to have that understanding, that discernment, and we get that from God's Holy Spirit living and dwelling in us. And why is it that our thoughts are not like God's? Well, mainly because God's thoughts and ways, again, are based on love. A real concern for other people. You know, and if you come right down to it and you take a little examination of yourselves, of myself, yourself, you know, we will gravitate to taking care of self. And it's not the way that our Father and Jesus Christ think at all. Their love is tremendous. I mean, what a wonderful plan God the Father had for our salvation. Send his son, his only son, down this earth to be born through a human woman and to live, to spread the good news of God's coming kingdom, and to die and pay the price for all of our sins. What wonderful love that is. Let's turn to Matthew 22. Matthew 22, and let's read verses 36 through 40. Matthew 22, 36 through 40. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all of the law and all the prophets. We need to change our hearts and our minds to learn to love others. And that is one of the hardest things for any human to do, is to really give of yourself to where it even hurts. To think of others more than self. I mean, that is a tremendously hard thing to do. As humans, as I said, you know, we are self-centered, and not thinking of others is not the first thing that's on our mind. And we know that Jeremiah 17:9, you don't have to turn there, but Jeremiah 17:9 says that the heart, speaking of the humans, the heart is deceitful above all things. You know, that is more than anything else. Our hearts are more deceitful, contrive things, tell lies, do anything that is going to benefit self better than anything else. We need to have a change of heart. A total change of heart. And that's what conversion is about. We are not totally converted at the time that we are baptized and hands laid on us. This is it's both an instant and a gradual process. And this change of heart is what it is about. And as we examine ourselves, we need to keep in mind and be willing, it's our choice to be willing to have this change of heart. God's not going to force this change of heart on us. We have to be willing to say, yes, I trust you, God. I trust you to know what is right, even though it's going to hurt me to help this other person or to do whatever. We have to be willing. It is our choice. God wants to see us make that effort. We need to be willing to change our hearts and our minds for others. And when we make this move, then God will transform us. You know, it's about our hearts and our minds. It's a totally new way of thinking. Our basis of thinking is really completely self. You know, you think, well, yeah, I'm a good person. Yeah, I'm nice to my neighbors over here. You know, I helped them do this, helped them to do that. But was that just for show, or was that just a surface thing? Did you really have in your heart to say, hey, yeah, my neighbor's grass needs to be cut, you know, and they're not feeling too well. I'm going to go do it. We have to have a different way of thinking, a different attitude. And now we come to the Satan influence that I talked about a little bit earlier. And you don't have to turn there, but in 2 Corinthians, you can jot all these down, of course. I'm doing this to save a little bit of time. 2 Corinthians 4:4 and Isaiah 25:7, they basically say the same thing. And they say, the little g god of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. Now let's do turn to Revelation 12. Revelation 12. Revelation 12, let's read verses 7 through 9. And war broke out in heaven. Michael, we're speaking of Michael the archangel, and his angels fought against the dragon. We know who the dragon is. And the dragon and his angels fought. But they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. Verse 9, so the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Deceives the whole world is the point that I wanted to pull out of there. And he is still working fine today. He is like that very strong radio station that is broadcasting to people's minds, you know, giving you that influence. Well, you know, don't do that. Don't say this. Don't do that. You know, anything that is going to block you having any love for anyone else or being obedient to God, you know, he is going to be broadcasting and deceiving the whole world. And he could deceive any one of us. He has a lot of power yet today to do that. And over in 1 John 5:19 says, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. We know that. The whole world is under the sway of the wicked one. In verse 20 there says, and we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding. The Son of God, Jesus the Christ, has come and has given us understanding. And with God's Holy Spirit, that discernment that I talked about, that deeper understanding to know God's will. He opened our minds that we may know Him who is true. God the Father is true. And we are in Him who is true, in His Son, Jesus the Christ. This is the true God, the eternal life. Eternal life is what we have in the balance if we are willing to have a change of heart, to be converted to thinking with love in our mind for others better than ourselves, the way that Jesus and God the Father think. You know, and it's sad that, you know, those who are deceived, I mean, they don't even know that they're deceived. And we see them go through some rough times and everything. The Bible describes this as a hardening of their hearts. And again, I want to preface this. God calls whom He wills at whatever time. And He's a fair God. He's going to call every human that has ever lived in His own special time. So we really don't have to worry that much about it. But it is kind of sad to see some of these people that are really going headlong into the culture and the horrible things of this earth, this world that we live in. And Satan can only do what God allows him to do. So God does allow Satan to blind these people. And God will call everyone that He wants at this time, and He will call everyone at a different time. But we are not all called at the same time, so we want to make sure that we preface that to know that God is a fair God, and He will call everyone and give everyone a chance to be obedient to Him. You know, and that really is the purpose of the parables. Let's turn over to Matthew 13. Matthew 13. Matthew 13, and let's read verses 10 through 17. 10 through 17. And the disciples came and said to Him, speaking of Jesus, the disciples came and said to Jesus, why do you speak to them in parables? And Jesus answered and said to them, because it has been given to you. It has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them, it has not been given. God does call whom He wants. He will call everyone at their time, but He calls who He wants. For whoever has to Him more will be given. You know, God is going to give us understanding and discernment, some more than to others. And He will give more. More in abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Why? because it's not his time to be called. In verse 13, therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear, and you shall not understand, and seeing you will see, and not perceive. For the heart of this people has grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing. Their eyes have closed. Lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their heart and turn so that I should heal them. It isn't their time to be called. And he spoke to them in parables so that they would not hear. Because some of them may have understood enough then to call on Jesus and say, please heal me. Please do it now. But it's God the Father that does the calling. None can come to Jesus Christ unless God the Father calls them. So Jesus was very careful there. He spoke in parables so that they would not understand. Because it all has to come from God the Father. That is the purpose of the parables. And only God can heal this spiritual blindness. It's very difficult for many people, especially those with strong religious, you know, backgrounds and beliefs, to come out and say that, you know, they don't correctly understand what is in the Bible, what it really says. And we humans have a tendency to cling to the first things that we learn in life. If you grew up in a family that believed in Christmas and Easter and all those sort of things, even though it's not even in the Bible, that we should be keeping these sort of things, you will cling to those. It is very hard. Let me give you a personal example that Pat and I have. Our little grandkids, especially our little grandson, his daddy is sending him to preschool to a Catholic church over in Madison. And we asked him what he was learning there. And he was showing us how he prays, making the steeple and everything. And any time that we would say anything opposite of what was said in that Catholic church, even him, he's only 5 years old, he would bristle up. No, that's not right. That's not right. We tend to cling on to what we have learned as young people, as little kids. So even from birth, we can get the wrong habits, the wrong ideas about things. And we are hopeful, of course, that we will, through our example and the things that we can say along the way, that, we can influence them a little bit to be thinking our ways. But of course, then again, it takes God the Father to call them, and we have to keep that in mind. It breaks our hearts sometimes to see family members that aren't called, and we want them to be with us, of course. But we have to come to that realization. It's God the Father that does the calling. None can come to Jesus unless God the Father allows it, even the members of our own family that we dearly love. And we know becoming a true disciple of Jesus Christ begins with repentance. We all know that from the beginning. And we need to repeat things over and over so we can have it to really sink into our hearts and our minds in this process of changing our heart. Through repentance, we have to be shown what is right and what is wrong in our beliefs and our behaviors. And that's the way, of course, that we want to teach our children as well, too, is to try to point out what is right and what is wrong. But when you're bucking up against the world and in-laws that are that of course have a different way of thinking, that's a hard thing as well too. It's tough on all of us when we think about it. But it's God the Father that has to open our minds and grant us that spiritual understanding, and to point out all the many weaknesses that we do have. And we can't do this on our own. No one can. We have to come to that knowledge to know that we are not very smart. None of us are. We need God's help in changing our hearts. Let's do turn to John 6. John 6. And let's read verses 41 through 51. John 6, 41 through 51. And this is where, you know, even Jesus' own people rejected him. And anyway, and we'll start in verse 41. The Jews then murmured against him, speaking of Jesus, because he said, "I am the bread which came down from heaven." And they said, you know, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we knew? You know, he's just a regular guy to them. How is it that he says, "I have come down from heaven"? I mean, they were kind of shocked to be hearing that kind of information and news. Verse 43, Jesus therefore answered and said to them, "Do not murmur amongst yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up in the last day." Jesus acknowledges it right there that no one can come to him unless the Father sends him. Verse 45, "It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, anyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes from me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from the Father, who is from God. He has seen the Father. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world." You know, I like to watch on Thursday nights, I like to watch the Tennessee Crossroads that's on PBS, Channel 8. I don't know if you ever watch that or not. I think they repeat it every Sunday morning, and I'm gonna watch it again. I'll tell you why. They had this man on there, I think he was from Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, and he learned how to make this brick oven, the old-fashioned brick ovens that was built centuries ago. And he built one on his property there, and it gets up to, I think, 600 degrees. Well, he also did a lot of research. It took him several years to do this, but he got a hold of the bread recipes from centuries ago. And in the recipes, the bread that he makes four different types of bread, and each one of them has all of the B vitamins, all of the nutrients that makes up a complete meal. Now, the bread that we buy today is like cake. It's full of sugar and a lot of other things that you don't even want to eat. Mrs. Keller's is a bread maker. She knows a lot about this. But the bread that we buy today is really not worth eating. But the bread that he has discovered these old recipes from are a complete meal when you eat them. And here Jesus is describing himself as the bread of life. As he was using that example of a complete meal that someone could eat, bread that is made the proper way is a complete meal that would save your life from starvation. Well, Jesus the Christ is that complete bread that can save our lives, and we will live forever. And so tomorrow morning, I don't know what time it comes on, but you may want to look at it as well too. And I hope they re-show that story about the bread. I thought that was pretty fascinating to see that and to hear that. But God is the bread of life, and he will take care of us. That is for sure. And let's see here, didn't want to lose my place. In Romans 5:6, Paul explains where, you know, he's talking about his own conversion, you know, and he talks about how weak he has been throughout this, you know, and how, you know, human nature controls his behavior. And, you know, he's still fighting that tendency all the time. And in Romans 8:2, Paul says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." You know, Paul was complaining and he was beating himself up. He said, "You know, I'm trying my best to overcome this human nature." But it takes God's Holy Spirit to be constantly working in and through us. And we have to be feeding ourselves with God's Holy Spirit in our Bible study daily. We have to have that complete meal of the bread of Christ in us every day. And Paul realized that. In Romans 5:6, Paul explains that at just the right time, when we are still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. His death made it possible for us to be forgiven of our sins and receive the Holy Spirit, giving us the spiritual power from God that we need to overcome the weaknesses of the flesh. Let's do turn to Acts 1. Acts 1. Acts 1, and let's read verse 8. Jesus is speaking, and he says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witness to me in Jerusalem, in Judea, and in Samaria, and to the end of the earth." God's Holy Spirit dwelling in us gives us power of that discernment, of that understanding that we need to be ready with an answer when somebody that we work with or somebody out in the world pops up with a question. Satan and his demons will put a question into a stranger's mind that can floor you and make you look pretty little and pretty simple if you're not careful. When somebody is asking you a question, make sure that you have the right answer for them. If not, say, "Hey, I'll get back with you on that." Because God's Holy Spirit will give us the power that we need, but we have to be using it. Use God's Holy Spirit in our Bible study and in our everyday life as we think and as we go along. And of course, we know what Acts 2:38 says. You know, we are to repent and be baptized for the remission of our sins. And we have to be repenting daily to overcome these horrible sins that we do commit in our mind. Don't have to turn there, but in 2 Timothy 1:7, it says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind." We will have a sound mind. We have a sound mind if we are not conforming to the world. If we are thinking the way that Christ and his Father are thinking, of love for others better than ourselves, we have that mind that won't change because God's laws do not change. The world changes from one fad to another, one thought to another. Craziness. They are changing constantly. God's truth does not change. And we can have that sound mind and be stable in all that we think, say, and do if we are relying on God's Holy Spirit, depending on God to guide and direct us. Again, our hearts and our minds must be spiritually transformed. Change from thinking of ourselves, but to be thinking of others. The Church of God is a people who are spiritually transformed by the power of God's Holy Spirit. Here's how Paul sums it up. I'll read it here for you. Here's how Paul sums it up. He makes it really, really simple, the very whole sermon here in one little scripture here. It's Romans 8, verses 13 and 14. And he says, "For if you live according to the flesh," very plainly, "you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." We have to allow ourselves to be led by God's Holy Spirit. It's our choice. God's not going to say, okay, we dunked you in the water, we pulled you back up, we laid hands on you, you received God's Holy Spirit, you're home free, buddy. No, you're not. It's our choice to be led by God's Holy Spirit. We have to do our part, and God will guide and direct us in that transformation of our minds and the changing of our hearts. The power of God completely changes the human equation. God's Spirit changes and transforms a person's life. It enables us to override the poles of the human nature, and it changes us to, we are thinking about God's commandments. Something else we need to do is to take all of God's commandments, read them thoroughly, read them slowly, discern what each one says. We are to be living our lives according to God's commands. God's Spirit is the single most important component in a Christian's life. God's Spirit is the single most important component in a Christian's life. Because without it, we are dead to our sins. Must keep that Holy Spirit stirred up in our lives daily, constantly, day and night. Because the presence or the absence of God's Spirit is what determines whether a person is a servant of Christ, a true Christian, or not. The presence or the absence of God's Holy Spirit determines whether a person is a servant of Christ or and a true Christian or not. Romans 8 verse 9 says, "Now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he or she is not his." Plain and simple. There are no gray areas there. You either are or you aren't. You either have the Spirit of Christ in you, God's Holy Spirit, or not. And that's how you can tell if you belong to Christ or not. Are you living according to the Spirit, or are you living according to the flesh? Very easy to figure that out. You can think that in your own mind. The choices that I make daily are, am I thinking about the flesh, me? Or am I thinking about God's Holy Spirit and living by His commandments, His will? Are we having a change of heart? Are we growing? So in closing, we know it's a change of heart that everyone needs. And we must continue to be overcomers of sin all the days of our life. So let's please stay focused on being true Christians and servants of God. Think about living by the Spirit and not by the flesh. Good to see everybody.